Time to catch up with our NHL insider. Elliot, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. Opened a bit of a can of worms in the last segment. We've been getting content from you, so we appreciate that. You've been talking about Darcy.
What do they do now?
Oh, no, Darcy Kemper and different things. Talking about Oliver Ekman-Larsson. So I want to talk about both of these guys, if for nothing else, just because it's fodder for debate. I'm going to start with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, just because that's where
ended. You opened up a can of worms, or I did?
No, we did. Last segment, my question was this. When we first heard about Oliver Ekman-Larsson, potentially he's available, things are moving in the desert because of, obviously, some financial issues, it would seem, again and still. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, we take a look. He's 29 years of age. Ooh, that's a big contract, and there's lots left. Pass. My question was, it was kind of our feel. It's just, that's too much money for too long. Moving on. My question to the fellas, to both Rhett and Ryan, was, what if we take a bit of a longer look? What are you getting? What is he? I don't know how fairly we can analyze what players are when they're in Arizona. I'm not trying to cop out on it, but I'm just wondering, is it worth a longer look? Yes, 8 point whatever it is a ton of money. 8.25, that's crazy money. 6 years remain on the contract. But is the player worth a longer look? I'll ask you.
I always look at it this way, Dino. If you take out the contract for a second, I know that's impossible to do. If you take out the contract for a second, is it a player you would want?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm asking you a question.
Well, I
just forget the contract for a second.
Yes.
Okay. So you start there. Now you bring the contract in. It's a big number. I will tell you this. I think that there's a lot of people who believe he needs a change of scenery, that he would be an energized, rejuvenated player if he went somewhere else. And I get a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So, and the other thing is that the two teams in Alberta, who I believe are two of the teams, and I think there's plenty more, who have at least looked into this, probably know him the best, aside from his own team. Your GM and Don Maloney, and I don't remember his exact title, I mean, those guys know him really well. And up the highway, there's a head coach and an assistant coach who know him really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and the other thing too with your team is that you're probably getting close to a major rebuild of your defense, right?
Well,
yes.
You're going to be graduating.
Yes.
Yes, there's going to be some younger bodies coming in, no question.
So
it's already begun.
I mean, I think, like, to me, from a purely logical point of view, I think this is a guy who needs a change of scenery, number one, and could benefit from it. You've got two guys in your organization in particular that know him really well and know what they'd be getting, and there's room on your roster to make it happen. So I think you guys are looking at all of that. But then comes the thing, one, can you handle the contract? And two, you know, and also as part of that, will Arizona keep any of it? Mm-hmm. And two, what's it going to cost you? I think that's all part of it. I think you guys are weighing it. I think you guys are weighing the goalie too. Now the one thing I will tell you is I think there's a ton of interest in the goalie. And I think for that reason, Arizona could do very well in that deal. And I think there's motivation to see if they can do it soon. So I think, I don't know where that stands, mm-hmm. but I've just heard that there's a lot of interest in Kemper.
For people, yeah, Darcy Kemper is who we're talking about. Go ahead, Ryan.
So the thing with Ekman-Larsson, like, good player. I don't know if he's still great. He has had some great years. He has had seasons mm-hmm. where he's collected significant votes for the Norris. But when mm-hmm. I just look at the Flames puzzle they're trying to build, I see a group of defensemen that all but one shoot left, and this guy's a left shot. He doesn't necessarily address the pressing short-term issue. Now, I'm a believer of that being an issue because I see coaches around the league do it anytime they can. But yep. Rhett, who played, doesn't really care and says, go put a guy on his offside. I don't know OEL's ability to go to the right side or for example, the ability of Valimaki or Hannafin or somebody else to go play their offside. So I don't know that it's a fit. I want to ask more.
Well, I think, Ryan, that's one of the things you weigh, right? Like, and first of all, like, I think most coaches, like, I had this conversation once with Mike Babcock. He went to the Stanley Cup final in 2003 with Anaheim, and he had 6 lefty. And so, and when he was in Toronto, he was a big, big believer you got to have right left. And I said, well, you went to the Cup in 03, you had 6 lefties. And he said to me, faster now. And that day you could play guys on their offside. He said, the way the game is sped up, he said, it's much more difficult. You know, Anaheim won the Cup with 5 lefties, but that included a blue line that had, you know, Chris Pronger, Scott Niedermeyer, and Francois Beauchemin. Like, that was a hell of a D. I think most coaches would want, and GMs, Ryan, I think would want the balance. Like, I think it comes down to, when you're looking at that for your team, I think it just comes down to how much you want to overhaul the D. And I think it's one of the questions you're asking internally. I think you guys are in it. You're considering it. And part of it is because you have 2 guys there that at least who know them. But I think that all of those questions that you're asking are fair because they know if they do it, then, you know, there's other things that have to happen because of it for both playing and contract reasons. So I think it's a very fair question to ask. I mean, the one thing is, like, you know, how big a change is Calgary considering to their roster? And, you know, like, it could be not much. It could be a lot. I think it just depends on what the value is of some of these guys. And so I think whatever changes you're making are all a piece of that.
It feels like to me that Tree really wants a elite top 4 type of situation on his D. He's traded for Hamilton. Well, I know, but he's gone out and made big trades to get, like, Hamonic, I guess maybe some guys would say, well, no, that's just a solid defenseman. But he goes and gets Dougie Hamilton, Hamonic. I think he really wants to fill in a top 4 where it's just, you guys are going to play tons of minutes. And Ekman Larson would be part of that. He'd be able to do that. So I'm not saying they're going to, but I do think that some of it has to do with what your GM wants as far as how his team looks. And you've got the young guys coming up, but Valimaki hasn't played. We all believe he's going to be a great player, but that's still a bit of a long shot. I mean, he's been injured a ton. And you talk about the other kids, and you wouldn't even probably heard of them, the free agents they signed. Who was it? Connor Mackey? Binder that came in, and they said he's going to play and stuff. It's like,
and he played some right side in the training camp that they had ahead of the playoffs too. So that's curious as well.
So I don't know. I just think that Tree does want a elite top 4 type of situation on his blue line, and maybe he's questioning Hannafin. And if, because I don't know that Noah Hannafin has wowed anyone. I think everyone's been like, yeah, again, good player, but not evolving into anywhere near Norris caliber. Eats up minutes, can skate, but doesn't do anything special.
What I think happens, guys, is that, look, like, first of all, I think your GM is not afraid. He's bold. He'll make big moves. And the other thing, too, is I think there's a certain way that Tree Living is wired, too, and I think it's a good way, and that is that, and because if I was a GM, this is the way I would be. If a good player came on the market, I'm interested. Now, you might look at your roster, as, you know, Ryan, you talked about there, and say, well, it doesn't really make sense. And my opinion would be, okay, that may be true, but this is a good player. And let's at least talk about it. So I think OEL's name is out there. Like I said, I think there's a lot of opinion out there that this is a player who can benefit from a change of scenery. He's been an elite player. we have to at least look at this. That is the way I would want my team to think. Now, maybe we don't do it. Maybe we pass. Maybe we pass because we don't think the fit is right. Maybe we pass because we don't think the trade is right. Maybe we pass because we don't like the contract. Maybe we pass because, you know, we can't do the other things that we're going to need to do to make this work. But that doesn't mean you don't look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what's going on here. I think your GM sees a player out there who he knows, has intimate knowledge of, knows could be had, and I think internally you guys are discussing it. If I was an owner and I knew Oliver Ekman-Larsson was available potentially, and my GM didn't at least have an explanation for me as to why he wasn't interested or why he didn't make inquiries, I wouldn't like that. There's one GM in the league right now. He tells me all the time his owner knows hockey. He's very interested in hockey. Whenever a trade happens, a player that the owner is intrigued in, he'll get a note like, okay, were we in on this? Did we know this guy was available? And he says, I better have an answer. So I think that's the way you kind of have to run your team. So when I hear that, you know, the Flames have checked in on this, I think it's the smart and responsible thing to do. Maybe you don't pull the trigger. Maybe you decide that's not for us, but you would just ignore the situation entirely. I don't think that's right.
Elliot Friedman, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. I don't know. Just quickly we'll pivot to Darcy Kuemper. I think very much in the same vein. If you're not looking to improve your roster, what are you doing? Kuemper would seem to be an upgrade for the Flames, for a lot of teams. The price tag is high, and 4.5 is a good number, but there's only 2 years left. What would be the stumbling blocks in maybe getting a deal done for Kuemper?
Well, I just think there's going to be a lot of interest. And, you know, I think that pushes the price up. The guy just had, and like the only concern about him is health. He got hurt, I think, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But when he played like this year, he could have won the Vezina if he would have stayed healthy. I mean, I got to tell you, I bet you the guy would have had hard votes this year. The thing is, too, he signed at a very reasonable number. 2 times 4.5 on this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Giddy up. I mean, I'll tell you this. Arizona, I think, wants to recoup. They've traded away picks. They lost 2 picks. I think they want to recoup some of that. I think they'll get some of that for him. I heard there's a lot of interest. I don't think they're going to have any trouble moving him if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, no picks in the first 3 rounds as it sits right now for Arizona. What else about we've focused a little bit on the goaltending here. Leonard staying in Vegas seems like, because you've talked about Kelly McCrimmon loves a lot of things, but none of them more than winning. And if Leonard equals winning, then he's going to find a way to keep him. What are you hearing now with a few weeks having passed about the upcoming goalie market?
I think it's going to be crazy. I think there's a lot of guys out there. You know, I mean, like there's like, I do think there's a lot of smoke to the fact that they're far down the way on an extension. I mean, we'll see where it ends up, but like, I think they want him and he wants them. So, I mean, I think at this point in time, everybody would be surprised if there wasn't something.
Yeah.
You know, I do think Vancouver is going to try to make a run at Markstrom. I don't know if that's going to be easy. I think there's a lot of willingness there to try to make it work. I wouldn't be surprised if the Canucks and Leonard talk about maybe backloading the deal, maybe allowing him to be exposed for the expansion draft, if that's what they want to do, but maybe locking him into potentially like a no move or a no trade or whatever after. Like, I think all of that stuff is going to be on the table. I think the biggest question is just going to be the number. I think there's a limit to what Vancouver is willing to do. And, you know, we'll see if that's going to work. I mean, Markstrom's going to have leverage. But, you know, now, you know, Fleury, he's going to be on the market. I mean, there's so many goalies out there. I think they're Khudobin's a free agent. He's got Dallas 2 wins from the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if he's a full-time starter, but if I, like, you know, like, how would you feel, for argument's sake, about a Khudobin-Riddick team next year? You know, like, Thomas Greiss, I mean, I think you could do a hell of a lot worse in a 1A than that guy.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be bananas. I really do. I think there are guys out there who are a bit worried, Dean, about what this is going to mean for them, because somebody's going to get squeezed, but it's going to be bananas.
No word yet. It's been very quiet here as far as the coaching situation. We've been led to, sure had the feel that this was going to be Jeff Ward's, and I've obviously thought probably done by now. The fact that it isn't, is that just part of the process, or should we read in that maybe there is more interviewing going on?
I just think that there's a process. Like, I still think he's got a good chance of keeping it. But I just think that your GM, he works at a pace he likes to work at. I think the loss was extremely emotional, and I think he just wanted to take the emotion out of the whole thing. I don't think it's the worst thing to breathe and just make sure everything's set. I did hear he told Ward it wasn't going to be a long time. I think today is 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I guess it would be, right?
I think we're getting closer to knowing one way or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be today, but I think it's going to be soon.
Before we let you go, anything else kind of popping up here in the last couple days that's interesting, whether it be rumors or what have you?
I think there's a lot of talk going on out there. I think Boston's going to be really interesting. I think they've decided they need more scoring, and I think they're going to have some, you know, big decisions to make about what that's going to mean for them. And I think they're definitely one of the teams to watch. I'm really fascinated by Montreal. You know, I've heard Deneau's name out there, but I had someone tell me that might be a bit of a pressure play on him. I think it's like, I had one guy tell me last night that he's like, I have a conversation with guys, we're thinking about this, and then a week later they're like, I'm not so sure I'm thinking about that anymore. I think it's a really weird time around the league with the uncertainty of the finances and when next season's going to start. I think it's really unpredictable, Dean. I think that's the best way I can answer for you.
All right, fella. Well, thanks for doing this. We appreciate you. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.